I'm really surprised that the spiced Coke is not a Dune tie-in. Because the drug is spice in Dune.
Maybe it is. It was just unspoken. It's also not very good.
No, it's not.
If it was just the raspberry Coke, I'd be into it. The spiced, like, whatever that is, could go away.
Yeah, I didn't like it that much. I really just miss Starlight. Just give me Starlight back.
They'll never do it again. They don't remember. So they don't remember the formula.
Like somebody made a mistake and they're like, yeah, we'll just sell it as this.
Yeah.
Very strange. I don't know. No, it's...
Well, Hank got too drunk and pissed in the vat of Coke, so... We don't want to clean it out, but... Apparently it tastes like a campfire.
Let me see what they... So they say a new raspberry and spice sensation. Coca-Cola with a twist. Coca-Cola Spiced offers a unique alchemy of our iconic cola, raspberry, and spiced flavors.
The spice doesn't do anything. Like, I liked the raspberry hit that I got from it. I thought that was cool. Because I like cherry Coke, too. Like, I think any of the berry Cokes mixed together at the freestyle fountains is pretty solid.
Yeah.
The spice thing, I just don't care for it. I don't want Coca-Cola to be savory in any way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it should be so sweet it makes my teeth hurt kind of thing. It should be so sweet tasting that even the sugar-free versions inflame my diabetes. Like, I grow a mustache like Wilford Brimley just by drinking it.
Yeah, I see that there's also Coca-Cola Happy Tears.
The hell is that?
Coca-Cola K-Wave Zero Sugar. And these are both the latest creations after the year 3000 one, I guess. So maybe we'll have to track those down.
What is Happy Tears supposed to be?
You have to buy it on TikTok? Oh. It comes in a silver briefcase.
I was saying, does it come in that metal case?
I guess. I don't know. God damn it. I'll have to have Nicole buy me some. But
from the TikTok store? TikTok shop?
You damn kids and their TikTok.
Them tickety-tocks. Anyways.
Dune 2 is very good.
Spoiler alert, I haven't seen any of the Dune stuff at all.
Well, I have the first movie if you'd like to borrow it.
I probably should and actually watch it.
Well, I also have the David Lynch one, but I'm talking about the first Denis Villeneuve.
I tried watching the David Lynch one and I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I've never seen it myself. I do plan to watch it. I've heard it's rough.
I was sober. Yeah, which
that's probably
your
first mistake.
Yeah, like I feel like you probably can't be. It also just like in general, I don't think I was in the mood for that. But I was like, I've never watched Dune before, and like went to put it on. I was like, I can't watch this right now, and then just like turned it right off.
Yeah,
but yeah, so Dune 2 was good though.
It's very good. I feel like. So I read the book right before the first movie came out, and I felt just disappointed that the first movie wasn't the entire story, because it's about halfway through the book, honestly. But he did such a good job adapting the story and like putting it on the screen that like even though I had to wait an extra 3 years to finish the story, I feel like Dune 2 reaps the benefits that Dune 1 planted. Like, Dune 1 is not, like, there's a lot of great stuff that happens in Dune 1, but there's also a lot of setup, but it just feels like Dune 2 delivers on every single promise that the first one makes. So
that's cool.
I think, you know, it sounds like it's doing well. It sounds like he might do a third movie, which is would follow the story of the second book, which I've never read, so I'm gonna have to.
It's called Dunes.
Dunes with a dollar sign at the end. No, it's Dune Messiah is the name of the book. So I'm curious to see how that will turn out. And then there's supposed to be an HBO show that takes place like 10,000 years before the story depicted in these films, that have more to do with the Bene Gesserit, who are like the what would you call them? Kind of like the space witches, I guess. I don't know. The space witches of the Dune universe.
The it's hive about their, queens. Like, convent.
Yeah, I don't know. Basically. I can't
Did
remember.
Did you just call it the Duneverse?
No, I didn't, but I should have. We can. The Duneverse?
But Duneverse.
Have you seen all this stuff about the fucking popcorn bucket?
Yes. It's so ridiculous. The last one I saw was it was like a TikTok reel or something where all it was it said I just came here for the bucket and 2 pounds of liquid butter. Yeah. And then the camera like goes into the bucket and it just shows all the butter in the bucket. And I'm like, oh my God, these people are so gross.
No, I did not see any of those, but we didn't go to an AMC. I think they're only sold at AMC. So
yeah, that's meh.
I did not feel the need to eat any popcorn out of a sandworm bucket, but.
The Shai Hulud,
I guess. Yes, the Shai Hulud.
One of my favorite hardcore bands from the early mid-90s is named Shai Hulud.
I know. No, I honestly, like literally when I first read the words Shai Hulud on the page, I was like, is that where the band got their name from?
Yes.
It's like, of course.
Because they're huge sci-fi nerds. And yep. some of the original members of Shai Hulud, I think two people maybe, went on to form Further Seems Forever, which is... Chris Carrabba's original band before he started Dashboard Confessional.
Okay.
For those who don't know, who don't make that connection. And if Further Seems Forever is great. I don't know if you want to keep talking about Dune, but I was going to shift into music anyways at some point.
No, that's fine. I don't want to spoil anything anyway. People.
Yeah, no, that's cool. But getting into some new music that I've come across, Ryan, so my band, the Gamma Foundation, has started practicing again, and this is a little bit of shameless self-promotion. We're hopefully going to record some stuff and some unreleased material and maybe write some new songs and maybe play a couple shows. Who really knows? But in hanging out with those guys again, which we haven't played together in over 10 years, I think at this point almost, it's been really great to hang out with Ben and Ryan and, we're trying to get Wedge to come back out, but he hasn't been able to make it. So we've had our friend Nick filling in and it's been a good time. And, Ryan's introduced me to this band, called Sea Haven, and they have an album called Halo of Hurt specifically. And I believe it came out in 2021 or 2022. And, what a phenomenal album of just some of the most haunting sounding songwriting and vocals, but like hauntingly good and beautiful in a way. The guy has this, it's almost on the verge of creepy voice, but like not in a bad way. He just sounds tormented in all the right ways. The way Ben said it was, he was like, Sea Haven sounds like a band. It's like if Brand New grew up with us, is the way Sea Haven sounds, and specifically this album. And I thought that was a really interesting analogy. Sea Haven, I've been listening to that a lot. I'm really digging it. I also came across this band. They showed up in my feed. I was listening to Balance and Composure, which is another band that I like, and this band called Citizen popped up because they sound a lot like Balance and Composure in some of their stuff. Come to find out, Citizen is from like Southeast Michigan / Ohio, and their heyday was like shortly after the Gamma Foundation.
Oh, wow.
And we could have crossed paths at some point, and I'm like 70 to 80% sure that one of the Citizen songs cops one of the Gamma Foundation riffs just for a moment. Like there's like six notes that he does. And I'm like, that's our shit, man. Like, so, check out Citizen, check out Sea Haven. I also in my feed on YouTube was fed a band called Cigar, and they have an album from 2022 called The Visitor. These guys are, they're like, I can't remember the record label, whatever, and like NoFX, like, or MXPX record label is Fat Lip or something like that.
Mm.
Not Fat Lip. That's a song.
Yeah. It's Sum 41 SR71, Sum 41.
Yeah. I'm going to pull it up real quick. All right. Cigar, The Visitor is the name of the album. Fat Records. Yeah. Anyways, it's, they are like, they're older dudes doing pop punk music, and but it's like real like California street punk kind of punk. It's really good. And the artwork is really cool for the album cover. So again, the album is called The Visitor. The band is called Cigar. Very cool. Sea Haven, Halo of Hurt. And then I showed this to Nick. I was looking for like down-tempo trip-hop kind of stuff to listen to while I was chilling at work, and I came across this like group called The New Law, and they have an album called A Bull in the Woods from 2018 that has the most epic post-apocalyptic spaghetti western cover I've ever seen in my entire life. it looks like the movie poster for something that Quentin Tarantino would produce with Jonathan Nolan kind of thing. Like, but the music is really cool. It's super chill. It's a great listen, especially if you're trying to get some shit done and just want to kind of focus. But it is absolutely spaghetti western trip hop. Like, very, very cool. And then, yeah, just, again, to shout out the Gamma Foundation. I do plan on taking our EP and getting a small run of vinyl pressed, because it's something I want to do for my own collection. But I feel like some people who are friends of ours might be interested in that too. And, I'm likely going to do like a t-shirt run, because we never really had good shirts, so to speak. Like, the designs that I did were stupid, and I did them because I just felt like we needed shirts, and I work at a t-shirt shop. So I was like, I'm just going to make stupid shirt designs. So nobody really ever bought any of them. So I actually want to put some effort into like getting good artwork. And I've been messing with AI a little bit to get some ideas, which has been super fun and helpful. But, yeah, those are my music adventures lately. And then, I don't know what else. I feel like there was one other artist I wanted to talk about, but I can't remember what. It doesn't matter. It's all the same.
Well, Nicole and I have been watching a documentary on Netflix called, I think it's called Leaving Twin Flames. Have you heard of the Twin Flames universe, John?
No.
Let me figure out the name of this Twin Flames documentary. Escaping Twin Flames is on Netflix. We've been watching that. And if you like documentaries about cults, you should check it out. Don't listen to my spoilers. They're not really spoilers, I guess. But I can't spoil real life, can you? I don't know.
No, I mean, anyway. It's like, all I need to do is go to the Wikipedia page.
That's the thing. I haven't looked into it too much. We have one episode of three left, so I don't know the full story. Okay, of this.
So it's short. Are they like hour-long episodes?
Yeah, it's okay. 3-hour-long episodes. There's also, I think, just like a 2-hour doc on Amazon Prime as well, called Desperately Seeking Soulmate, Escaping Twin Flames. So Twin Flames universe is just this dude and his wife started up this dumb, like, do you have some unrequited love that isn't being, it's one-sided, and but you know this person is your soulmate? Well, guess what? You're twin flames, and you need to do everything in your power to get with that it's just these two people selling courses on how to fulfill your twin flame and all this bullshit. And whenever we watch one of these things, it's just like, how do people fall prey to this shit? Like, it's just the most asinine bullshit. And they show this guy like showing off his house. He was in Traverse City, I think, or somewhere in Michigan.
Lapeer,
I guess. And
Jeff showing Devine.
Off. Yes, he shows off his, or his name is Jeff Ian, I think is his actual name.
Yeah, Jeffrey Ian, Ian, A-Y-A-N.
Yeah, and he also used to go, what was his other name?
Ender Ianathos.
Yes. Like, listen to this shit. Like, how fucking stupid. This guy is, like, inventing mythology about, I don't fucking know. But anyway, like, it's infuriating watching this type of shit and seeing people get taken advantage of and preyed upon when they're at, like, maybe their most vulnerable or insecure or desperate. And, like, you know, I get it. Like, if you're stupid enough to fall for some of this shit, then, like, it's hard to be too mad about, like, somebody making money off of it. But I can't help but be mad about it because it's just so morally and ethically bankrupt, and he just gets to clean up and live in a massive house somewhere in Michigan. Like, I just, it's infuriating. So if you don't want to be mad, maybe don't watch these things. But
no, I mean, it, like you said, you're always kind of fascinated, like, to figure out, like, how do these people fall for this, you know? Like, I kind of, yeah. It's like watching a train wreck kind of thing, you know?
Yes.
I get it. It's still one of those, it falls into my general outlook on politics that, like, I may not share the same political views as someone else, but I'm always interested to hear why they think and feel the way they think and feel.
Yeah.
And they're never quite able to actually articulate that. And so you watch, what was it? I was fed a reel on Instagram or TikTok, because I don't use TikTok, but Instagram or YouTube or Facebook or whatever. I was fed a reel where this guy was talking to some lady who was holding up a sign that said, like, Trump 2024 or before. And he was like, what does that even mean? And she's like, well, Trump's my president and he's the president right now. And the guy's like, but Joe Biden's the president. And she's like, no, Trump is. And he's like, yeah, but, like, if that's the case, like, then why are you mad at Biden? Like, all the stuff he's doing is the stuff Trump's doing. If Trump's the president, Biden's just like, and she's like, well, no, Obama's in the basement of the White House telling Biden what to do. And just kind of like, and but the guy just kept flipping the questions of, like, well, but why, if Obama is in the White House telling Biden what to do and Trump's the president, like, why does it matter that Biden's doing things that Obama told him to, because Trump's the one telling them to do it, kind of thing? Like, because Trump's the president. And the lady just kept kind of looking at him like, what is good? Like, she couldn't even.
She can't follow her own logic.
Yeah. I'm always like, I find that fascinating in the sense of, like, again, I want to understand, like, why you feel the way you feel and why you think the way you think. Like, what is it that is compelling you to feel and think these things and think that this is good and okay the way things are going? And I can see myself watching this documentary for that same, like, trying to understand, like, maybe there is something in it that explains, like, why people so, you know, I assume if it's this whole thing about soulmates and, you know, whatever, seeking your twin flame, whatever all of this is, like, I'm assuming a lot of it has to just do with, like, again, preying on vulnerable people.
For sure.
And, like, and giving their vulnerability a purpose in order to fulfill whatever emptiness is within them, you know?
That's the thing. I get how it can happen. I don't get how you stay around. And that's what the whole thing is, though. It's these cult leaders are having these high control groups where they exert their control over you. But it's, you know, that initial buy-in is maybe like, oh, I'm feeling down about myself because I got dumped or whatever. Sure. Like, I've played 90 hours of Fallout when that's happened before. And maybe if Fallout told me to, like, move into some complex and wed myself to somebody I don't even, maybe I would have done it. Maybe that's the case. But anyway, like, it's looking at it from the outside is so baffling. And I, you know, like, and, but the other thing about it is that it's this weird, like, I feel like there's this uptick of, like, multi-level marketing scheme that segues into, like, cult. Like, they're kind of operating on the same base impulses or whatever that, like, it, the, and, like, the weird combination of the two of them that this Twin Flame shit is, like, just, it's, like, the, it's, I can't think of anything, like, there's so much evil in that, that you're going to take advantage of people and prey upon them in their times of need to then make money off of them. It's, I don't even know.
No, I agree. Yeah. It kind of lends itself to my overall outlook on business in the sense that you don't fuck with other people's money.
Yep.
And when these people find out, or when it finally clicks in their brain how fucked they were with their money, something bad is going to happen.
Like, yeah.
You know, it just like, that's like a number one, you do not mess with other people's money. And that's going to cause some problems.
Yeah.
But anyways, now I want to watch that documentary.
Yeah, that's worth checking out. So far, at least. I don't know how the third episode's going to go. And yeah, I think I basically came to it at one point because I think Nick mentioned that he was watching it and becoming very angry about it. And so I was like, oh, that sounds like something I would like to do. I need to be more angry than I currently am.
Right. Yeah, let's get more angry.
But yeah, Escaping Twin Flames is on Netflix, and Desperately Seeking Soulmate, Escaping Twin Flames Universe is on Amazon Prime.
Right on.
So check those out.
And if you didn't watch it, Shane Gillis was on SNL, and he was really funny.
Yeah, I have not been keeping up on SNL at all since they took it away from Hulu.
Yeah, just in general, I don't know if you're familiar with Shane Gillis, but back in 2018 or 2019, he was one of the new cast members that was announced and promptly fired for something he had said in his past.
Yes.
And then they brought him back to host the show.
Yep.
Which some people were still mad about, but it was really funny. He is a very funny comedian, and he does really good he has good ideas for sketches, and I would venture to guess that a lot of the sketches he participated in were a lot of his ideas.
Yeah.
And, I think he's a funny comedian. I don't care what anybody thinks about that.
Yeah. The only thing that I really caught out of it was like the fact that like his fan base was going very rabid over, like, there was a woman in the band who wasn't laughing at his jokes or something. And so they were like, I don't know if they started to, like, try to dox her or figure out where she lived and, like, all this type of shit. So he, like, had to make a post that was like, I was on SNL. I didn't burn the libs. I didn't, like, what was the quote that he said? I'll have to find it. Shane.
I mean, the thing about, like, I don't know, his fan base is weird, but I know, because he does a lot of jokes about Down syndrome, and because I think someone in his family actually does have Down syndrome. On SNL, I think he referenced like his niece or his nephew or somebody, but in his normal stand-up, he references an uncle of his or a cousin, I can't remember exactly, that has Down syndrome. But either way, I like, it's one of those, what was the joke? I'm trying to think of the joke that he said, something about like, something about, like the people who invented the Special Olympics, like really went out on a limb or something. I can't remember. I'm not even going to get into the joke because it's so, it's not, I'm not good at retelling jokes, but his whole thing was just like, it wasn't making fun of the Special Olympics. It was making fun of the situation that led up to people inventing the Special Olympics or something like that. And then like, and he talks about how his uncle, like, who has Down, he's like, have you ever been around people with Down syndrome? Because they're having a great time and we're all miserable. I don't know if you've noticed this. Like, and he talks about how he goes to a every time he goes to a restaurant with his family, like his uncle who has Down syndrome shows up with like grilled cheeses in his pocket in case they don't have something on the menu that he likes. And like, it's just like, it's such a stupid, simple joke, but it's like really like the premise and the idea of it. It's clearly like, he's clearly a sketch comedian because a lot of his like stand up bits like could be sketches and like it would be very funny. But I thought his SNL appearance was really, really good. I'm really kind of blown away that they had 21 Savage as his like musical guest. Like, that was weird just because I don't understand modern rap. I don't get it. I can't understand anything they say. The mumble rap thing, I don't get it. And they all have the same cadence. It's all triplets. If you don't understand triplets or the word cadence, I'm sorry.
Go listen to Strong Songs.
It's a rhythm thing. Yeah, go listen to Strong Songs by Kirk Hamilton.
He tweeted after the show at one point. He said, "I didn't bomb and I didn't crush the libs, and the lady in the band not laughing is totally fine. Knock it off." So I like, his fan base was getting really fucking fired up about literally like anybody perceiving him as not having done the best job in the world. And it's, well, like,
what's funny about his fan base is the fact that like they got mad at Bud Light for like Bud Light's whole like appreciation and acknowledgement of transgender people. Okay. Yeah. They got mad. Like Kid Rock went out and like shot up a whole case of Bud Light with his like AK-47 out on his ranch. Right.
Yep.
And now Shane Gillis is like the spokesperson for Bud Light. So everybody's back. Like, we love Bud Light. It's just like, What are these, like, what's the term? What's the political term for flip-flopping that's not flip-flopping? Like,
I mean, I just kind of like a fair weather fan of some kind. I don't know. Yeah,
like, it just, pick a side and stick with it, man. Like,
yeah,
quit changing on a dime.
Have some amount of, it's just hypocritical is what it
is. Yeah, like, constant, like, hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And that's like, yeah, it's the physical embodiment of hypocrisy in a human being is like Shane Gillis's fan base. Anyways,
or fans of anything on the internet, really.
Yeah, for real. I hope I didn't offend anyone by mentioning Down syndrome. It's not funny, but Shane Gillis is funny when he talks about his premises involving like his family. So I honestly think, I don't know the whole story, but I honestly think somebody in his family actually does have Down syndrome, and he probably gets endless amounts of comedy out of it from the standpoint of like, here's this person in his life who's clearly like unbothered by everything around them.
And but it also just sounds like that fucking Seinfeld episode where Bryan Cranston becomes he converts to Judaism so he can tell just the to Jewish tell the jokes.
Yeah, you know, I suppose.
Not that you can elect to just have, you know,
that is a great episode of Seinfeld, though.
Absolutely, it is.
Did you ever hear this story about like when he's doing that scene with Jerry and he takes the hit of nitrous before he gives Jerry the mask?
No.
So Cranston was like, they were filming the scene. They decided to take a break. And the guy who is like wrenching on the lights on the set, like leans down and goes, "Hey, you know what would be funny?" And Bryan Cranston's like, what would that be? And the guy goes, if you took a rip of the mask of nitrous and then handed it to Jerry. And he's like, that would be really funny. And so then the next take that they did, he did it. And the whole, everybody, Larry David and Seinfeld and everyone on set lost their shit. And they were like, oh my God, where did you think of that? And Cranston goes, it was that guy. And like pointed to the light guy in the back of the building. And the light guy was just at the back door and like tipped his hat and walked out the door. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's really a good story. I don't remember. I think he told it on like Inside the Actor Studio or something like that. Like one of those things, or maybe it was Mark Maron's podcast. I don't even know, but it's a good story, right. But it's like, it's so like, it's one of those things where like, that guy working on that set is probably born for comedy and like lives comedy and like just has jokes in his back pocket for whatever situation, like it deems it necessary, you know?
Yeah.
It takes incredibly like intelligent people to be that witty. And
or he just really likes nitrous and is like,
yeah, yeah. He's like, it'd be, you know, I bet Jerry would appreciate it if you ripped it first and then gave it to him. Like, yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I never set out to offend anyone. I'm sorry if I did. Hopefully I didn't. And I'm always open to having conversations with people about stuff because I like understanding people's thought processes. I'm fascinated by thought process. Yeah, that's all.
I'm done having thought process. It's,
yeah, don't think too hard. PM. Thinking hurts.
It's true.
It's Mark Maron, thinky pain. You get that thinky pain in your head.
Sure.
It was one of his specials, was called Thinky Pain.
Oh, nice.
Stand-up comedy. Anyways, all right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Peace.